I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I don't know if it's a spring break or people just working from home now. Less cars on the road. Mary, let's go live to Mary on this. Why are there less cars on the road?
Spring break.
All right, thanks. That's our complete investigative report.
You mean right now?
Yeah, there's nobody on the road this morning.
Well, it's Friday. People take those. Oh, St. Patrick's Day weekend. Maybe they're just
nobody works anymore. Fridays is like the first day of the weekend.
That's true. That is true. Fridays are always less, least amount of traffic. Tuesday, the worst.
This is also the tournament weekend. People don't work yesterday and today, and it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. Like, it's
no wonder the rest of the world hates us.
Yeah. So
nobody works anymore.
No, they don't.
I guess I can blame Trump for that, too, but it seemed like it happened before he got there. All right, you ready? Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, kids, listen up now. Lou Manfredini coming up. You want to be the first caller? 312-981-7200. We'll get to him in just a few moments. Terrible tragedy yesterday at Florida International University when a pedestrian bridge collapsed. A brand new pedestrian bridge had been in place for just a matter of days. And there were cars on a busy 8-lane road that were driving underneath it. There were people walking where the pedestrian bridge collapsed as well. As of this morning, 6 confirmed dead, many injured, and several still critical in the hospital. The bridge itself was built by a company that's had a couple of sketchy developments in the past, but having said that, it's supposed to be state-of-the-art technology. Didn't work out that way. There's no reason to believe terrorism was involved. That's always a first question. Just a terrible accident at a terrible time.
Yeah, 6 people dead, and that number, unfortunately, could go up.
Item number 2, let's go live to Dave Ennett for some good news. Dave is with Sister Jean right now, and she's refusing to talk to him, so we're going to go to Dave for this. Loyola's win yesterday didn't surprise many of us in town.
No.
The way they won it was a good time.
Yes, it was. On a three-pointer with 3/10 of a second to go by a Chicago kid, Dante Ingram, after they had tied it with a minute to go, fell behind. Miami missed the front end of a 1-1, and they got the which, by the way, as I said when it happened, the longest free throw in the history of college basketball. That thing danced on that rim for what seemed like forever. And, you know, that really could have affected that play.
Well, Sister Jean had a lot of power in that.
Yeah,
Sister Jean.
She did.
Sister Jean said, I don't think so.
I saw an interview with her, and she said that she asked God for help.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, had she asked God for help before? Because it's been 33 years.
Well, God's busy. You know, God's got a lot going on.
So he got to it.
33 years to get to it on the to-do list, but finally happened. By the way, how delightful is she?
Oh,
yeah, she's great.
She's
98.
Tremendous.
She's sharp as a tack.
And she can talk hoop.
Yes,
or
she
as John Williams says, buckets.
She had bucket ball. She emails the players after the games. And she the individual players, she tells them, hey, you did a really good job rebounding.
Yeah.
That was great shot.
Yeah. I heard this phrase come out of her mouth. She's 98. She said, we had to get the big W. Huh? How about that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Sister Jean. All right. Say goodbye.
Reporting live from Beneath the L tracks.
Oh, wow.
In Rogers Park. Yeah, Dave Edwards, WGN Sports.
My sister Jean's not with you. Flawed assessments under Assessor Joe Barrios caused $2 billion to shift in Chicago property taxes. I think it's about time Mr. Barrios goes and finds another line of work.
As a paying Chicago property tax owner,
that must please you.
This is fantastic news, and I say that so sarcastically.
It's only $2 billion.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's time to clean up Chicago, yeah. And not just in a political question and answer kind of way. It's time to actually do it. I know you're saying, Steve,
amen.
What are you, crazy? No, that's what we're talking about. Speaking of politics, Jeannie Ives will be on later. Democrats buying big commercials. You're going to see commercials all weekend about Jeannie Ives being too conservative for Illinois. And it's just going to flood the airwaves all weekend long. And by the way, the pro Jeannie Ives commercials, they're trying to make a backwards point that Bruce Rauner is not conservative enough. It's a fairly smart idea for the commercial, at least from a conceptual standpoint. NIU has, the trustees there have hired Gloria J. Gibson as their new president, making her the first black woman to hold the role in 150 years of that school's history. How about that?
Northeastern Illinois, yep.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so good for them. Russian hackers have infiltrated U.S. and European water and power plants. That's comforting. The Trump administration said the hackers have yet to sabotage or shut down a plant, but they may be running test runs so they can eventually do that. Vladimir Putin is at a very dangerous point. He's always been dangerous, but think about this now. He's killing people regularly in the UK and around the world. He's ordering the deaths of these people. And if you're going, well, we don't know. Yes, we do. We know. We also know that he ordered the effects that he created, the chaos he created in the 2016 election. And when he sat down with Megyn Kelly, he was a tiny little pain in the ass. He's dangerous. He seems to be more rogue than ever. Because as an ex-KGB agent, those guys are like CIA agents, pretty buttoned up.
Yeah.
You know, they're careful. He seems to be less careful than ever and more interested in just doing what he wants when he wants it. That's a dangerous thing. So the world has to decide how they're going to handle it. The UK has stepped up. So far, we have not, other than some of the sanctions finally being put into place that Congress approved. But still, not a word from Donald Trump about what a creep Vladimir Putin is.
Mm-mm. But he had a lot to say about Justin Trudeau yesterday and making things up with Canada.
And none of it true.
That was crazy.
And finally this. With the character of the Chicago Riverwalk and millions of dollars in tourist revenue on the line, a behind-the-scenes battle now has broken out over the plan to construct an aerial tram that would link two of downtown's most popular attractions, Navy Pier and the Riverwalk. The argument's over what?
You have to see the plans. It looks beautiful from the sketches. It's a proposal that they're calling the Skyline, and they would have aerial gondolas that would basically take people like a little bubble, almost like a Ferris wheel on those cables that would go over the Riverwalks, that would take you from Navy Pier to the downtown area. So it looks beautiful.
So it's fine.
But money.
It's always about money.
Everybody,
right?
Yeah. Money, is this feasible? Is this dangerous? Is this eco-friendly? So there's all kinds of questions that are, it's going to look beautiful if they actually do it.
Yeah.
But we'll see if it goes through.
It's not that long a walk.
Incidentally, guess what?
Just walk.
There used to be cable cars in Chicago, like these overhead.
Let's go to Dave on this. Dave, do you remember cable cars in Chicago?
I remember streetcars.
Streetcars, okay.
They were debuted at the 1933 World's Fair.
Yeah. Well, I was already away at college.
Yeah, that was more of a Lyle Dean thing. Top six, there you go. And Lou Manfredini coming up, 312-981-7200 to be Lou's first caller.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Randy standing by. Lou, are you with us? Yeah, I don't know what's happening here because Lou, the Channel 9 Morning News is at a bar.
Bourbon Street.
Normally they drink after the show. This morning they're drinking during the show. And they're doing their regular St. Patrick's Day thing. So Lou would normally be at TV. And he's very reliable. As opposed to many who work with us on the show. And he would have checked in.
Yeah.
So
Maybe he's at Bourbon Street. With the,
Randy's in Hillside. Randy, I have no idea if we can answer your question, but we can't find Lou, so we're going to take a shot. So what's your issue, Randy?
No, I wanted to ask him. I had a guy come to the house, and he wants to seal foam things in my attic for $2,500, and I'm a little bit leery about doing that.
Seal foam in your attic. Google that quickly. Okay. Seal foam in your attic for $2,500.
Yeah, see, they would seal foam all around everything. Well, I have 22 inches of insulation up there.
Sure you do.
How's he gonna do that? It's like walking on a cloud up there.
Are you talking about a spray foam, like what that they put underneath?
Yeah, they usually do that in an attic before they put insulation. They go around all your electrical boxes and they seal foam everything. Then they put the insulation in. Well, I don't know how this guy is going to do that with all the insulation.
Yeah, so the problem is twofold. One is, are they charging it too much? And then two, how are they going to do it without tearing the insulation out? Now, let's go live to Andrea on this, because Andrea's mom did this.
My mom did this. She called PermaSeal and wasn't even aware that they did this. It's very non-invasive. It's like a drill that you just do a couple of holes either in the floor or in a stoop or stairs, whatever it might be.
But this isn't an attic.
No. But they shoot it into the ground or the ceiling or the foundation, whatever it might be, to create more of a stronger foundation.
Have you ever seen it done, Daniel? I mean, Randy? Who's Daniel?
Huh? What's that?
Have you ever seen it done?
Well, I've watched programs like where it was like a remodeling show, and they show it. They do it. But the thing about it is I have a fireplace in my dining room, and I don't use it. And I put a board in there to stop any air, because the fireplace draws your air, and it would draw right up and out of here. He stayed away from there. So I put the board in there to stop any airflow from going up the chimney, and I believe it helped. You know what I mean?
So.
I'm probably going to tell the guy no, because, like I said, how are you going to do that with all that insulation?
I'd ask the question. I'd say, hey, how are you going to do that with all that insulation? Because then once you ask him that, you should call us so we can educate the listeners.
But it is a good thing to do for people who have heat. And another thing, when you have heat loss on your home, evidence would be that you have your snow goes away fast or you have a lot of icicles, right?
Sure, there you go. Well,
I don't have any of that on my house.
What's the eyeball test? Your house is passing the eyeball test.
Yeah, right. So how much heat could you lose, right?
$2,500. I don't know, man. $2,500, Randy. You and I could have a good time with $2,500.
Yeah,
I know I can. I could call you guys back, and maybe I can meet up with Lou and find out where he's at.
All right, stand by. Stand by. Hold on a second, Randy. Let me go to Scott on this. Scott, what do you know about this business?
Oh, well, I work for an insulation company, and I've done this before. And the reason he's charging you so much is because he has to move all that insulation to get to the penetrations, spray the foam on it, and then put it back.
So he's got to move the insulation, spray the foam, replace the insulation, so you've got yourself a double seal situation.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. Scott, you hold on. Randy, you hold on. I believe we don't need Lou. Huh? How about that?
Well, we're good. What do we need Lou for?
We don't need him. April airfare, Wi-Fi, airfare. What am I doing? I got this for you. Stand by, Randy, because I got an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. This is why this audience is so great. Mm-hmm. We got the expert, our friend Lou, who we don't know why he's missing. God bless him. We hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And Lou is not there. And Scott from Woodstock jumps up. This is kind of work he does, and he's the expert.
Our listeners are the best.
Scott getting it done. Scott, give Scott whatever he wants off the prize list.
We have the smartest listeners in the world.
It's incredible.
We really are.
And the best looking.
Yep.
Let's see. American Weathermakers, folks, home of the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC for that April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Boom.
Scott going to fill in for Lou tomorrow morning?
Scott from Woodstock tomorrow morning filling in for Lou at 6:30. We'll come back with the headlines in just a second at 7:20 WGN.
One time out, they don't take it.
If the Loyola Ramblers go all the way to win the title, and by the way, why wouldn't they? I believe they'd be the first Ramblers to ever win the title. Has there ever been a Rambler? There's never been a Rambler champion.
Well, they were. 1963.
They won the national championship?
They won the national championship, and it was 55 years ago yesterday.
I did not know that.
Is that 1963? Would that be 55 years ago?
Sister Jean was only 43 years old then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was there.
She may have been, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? So Loyola is the big story from yesterday, but not here. I think most people, a lot of homers, obviously.
You
but
mean
most
as far as being an upset?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most people around here
said that's a good team.
It was the way they won it, I think.
Yeah, the great, deep three-pointer with a fraction of a second left on the clock.
That should have been a four-pointer. I love when they take those shots, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you love them, except sometimes... I don't know if you noticed this yesterday. Game after game, guys are jacking long three-pointers.
Yeah, 35-footers.
Panicking. You know, once things got a little tough, all of a sudden they're throwing up these crazy shots.
Yep.
Trey Young of Oklahoma.
He was throwing half-quarters up.
I mean, which I've seen him make them. I saw him from about 10 feet away when we were there in December. Yeah. But he doesn't make them all the time. And some of them were just, if they come... within the offense, that's one thing. But if you're just taking the ball down, just throwing it, that makes no sense.
It doesn't. They need to play basketball occasionally.
Yep.
I love watching college hoops this time of year.
Well, there's a lot of it for the next 4 weeks. Now, Tennessee, how good are they?
Tennessee's, I mean, they had the most lopsided win yesterday. They play in a tough conference.
Wright State apparently didn't show up. Apparently it was just five guys with Wright State T-shirts because it was, a 30-point blowout or something?
But I guarantee you, nobody wants to play Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a solid team, and they beat an SEC team on the road back in December when they won at Florida. So I don't think they're going to be intimidated at all going up against Tennessee tomorrow afternoon.
Give them a chance?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, these are the kinds of games, Steve. Now, they could go...
on any given Saturday? With Sister Jean in the crowd?
Look at Northwestern last year against Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave them much of a shot going into that game, if not for a bad call on an obvious goaltend that they missed, and then... they were on the way to coming back and winning that game, and that Gonzaga team made it to the Final Four. So these are the kinds of games that you see in the NCAA tournament, and I don't think anybody should be shocked if Loyola goes in there and wins tomorrow.
For folks not familiar with the team, who do they watch?
Well, that Dante Ingram didn't have a great day shooting yesterday until he had to.
Yeah.
Clayton Custer is the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. They have a bunch of seniors. I mean, it's a veteran team, which I think you see more and more that really helps in the tournament, especially when you have teams which have one-and-done types of players,
sure.
And these are young guys. Like Kentucky is a great example. Kentucky didn't have an easy time against Davidson. I mean, they had a big lead in the first half, and then they let it get away from them. And John Calipari said afterwards, we got a bunch of freshmen, and they haven't played in the NCAA tournament before, and it's different.
I hope he wasn't using it as an excuse, because that's his deal every year.
Well, no, because they won the game.
Yeah, but he has five freshmen every year.
Yeah, that's true.
So... all right, well, go Ramblers. Huh?
I think it's exciting.
It's great
for... the school, obviously. It's great for college basketball in this area, just as it was when Northwestern got to the tournament last year.
And when they win it next year.
And let's see how far they go. I mean, I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Sister Jean is a texter from the 224. Sister Jean was my high school religion teacher. You should have seen her wit.
I believe that.
I could say that.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
She was great in those interviews.
She
after
was
the
great.
Game
now, 98, she's a little more diminutive than she was in the past, but she used to be able to dunk.
I bet she... good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know what, though? Just advice for the team going forward, while that game yesterday was so exciting, give Sister a little bit of a break. Maybe win by, 5 points this time? 10?
She seems so zen, though. She doesn't seem like her ticker could be bothered at all.
No.
I don't know.
No.
She's just sitting there going, yes. All right, boys, I won't have to make you run laps. Nice job. So Loyola, big winner yesterday. I don't know what shape your bracket's in, but I'm told I'm leading the station bracketology situation.
Yeah, you are.
As a matter of fact, I did look at it. Of course, this is not a pool. There's no No. There's no money involved or anything.
Right. Except for the money I would win, but I continue to hold the lead.
I do have, this is the WGN Radio 2018 survey of who we think is going to win.
Survey.
You are tied with Mark Lively from sales.
Okay.
With 14 correct. Okay. Next, there's a big tie, big group at 13 correct, which includes, among others, Ryan Burrow from the news department, Adam Hoag. No, he's, I'm sorry, he's only got 12. A couple of the salespeople.
Where are you?
I'm in that group.
Oh, you're in 13? Okay.
Yeah, who, and so, who is, else is, in and so is Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Andrea is as well.
Exactly, okay. The same, my name.
I was getting to that.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back. Jeannie Ives will be on at 7:40 this morning. Lots to ask her about leading up to the primary. Of course, we'll give away another one of our Make America Vote Again hats prior to that. And the mayor of County Cork, Ireland, Declan Hurley, is here. An actual Irishman.
Yes.
On St. Patrick's Day Eve. Plus, the president's calling in a couple of minutes. I probably should have led with that. The president's going to call in a couple of minutes. Stand by for that. The Steve Cochran Show continues on 720 WGN.
I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. Well, you're never going to get it. Tell me what's that for.
Since the Steve Cochran Show continues, joined now by President Donald Trump. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran. I'm tremendous. I've got all my brackets intact.
Oh, well, already. Listen, a lot of people's brackets got blowed up real good. You're still in the running with all your teams?
Teams? No, I'm talking about my White House staff brackets. I've got Jared Kushner going all the way. Mm-hmm. And if three more people resign before Monday, I win the office pool.
Listen, about that staff. The White House, less and less people every week. Hope Hicks, gone at the end of the month.
You know what? That one really hurt, Cochran. Hope was so loyal and hot. I'm surprised they didn't allegedly have a fling with her. Seriously, she was a calming force in my life. Now when I have a temper tantrum, I get put in a headlock by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Don't mess with Huckleberry. No, really, she could have wrestled in WWE.
All right, and then right after that, Gary Cohn left as your economic advisor. Larry Kudlow comes in, and then Rex Tillerson is gone. What's going on?
No, the whole thing with Rex went very smoothly. I said, Rex, you're fired. And Rex said, I respect your decision, sir, you bleeping moron. No respect from that loser. You know, look, Cochran, all successful businesses have lots of hiring and firing.
Okay.
Lots. So it's no big deal that my administration has a bigger turnover than a Family Dollar store. No big deal.
Now you're going to fire your national security advisor, H.R. McMaster. Is that guy next?
Nobody fires more national security advisors than me. Nobody.
You got to get up early. Any idea which staff member will actually be next on the hit list?
Hold on a sec. Ben Carson just walked in. What can I do for you, Ben?
Excuse me, Mr. President, but I was wondering if any of the large empty offices down the hall were spoken for. I had my eye on Hope Hicks' old mini fridge.
Yeah, take your pick. I'm on the phone with Steve Cochran.
Oh, could you ask him if he'd be interested in a new, never-been-used dining room set? If not, I'm going to post it on Craigslist.
Yeah. And by the way, Cochran, everybody needs to relax about the dining room furniture scandal with Ben. The taxpayers don't have to make any payments. No down payments and 0% interest until 2020.
Wow, that's great. That's great that you actually look for that kind of deal. So, and by the way, no thanks, Secretary Carson. So, Mr. President, the big news yesterday in the Russia investigation is now that Robert Mueller has subpoenaed your company, the Trump Organization. You got to be worried about that.
No, not at all. There's no collusion. No collusion. Frankly, I think that what Robert Mueller will find is that NFL players who kneel during the anthem and anything Hillary Clinton does will be much worse, believe me.
It's not like that's your go-to answer. Listen, are you really going to meet face-to-face with Kim Jong-un? And give us a little backstory here. How'd that come up?
Yes, it's really going to happen. You know, actually, I have to give all the credit to Dennis Rodman. He called up one of Kim's uncles, you know, the one he hasn't killed yet. He set up the meeting. Mm-hmm. Rodman used a special White House satellite phone I gave him. We have this service. It's a great friends and fascists package.
Great fans.
Unlimited data and minutes.
Yeah.
Look, the good news is I have it on good authority that Kim will give up his nukes if I can get him a producer credit on the revamped American Idol show. No problem.
Well, you're all about it. Listen, we're sorry to hear about your son, Don Jr. I don't know if you guys even know this yet, but if you're getting up this morning, Don Jr. and his wife, Vanessa, are getting divorced. How's the family holding up?
You know what? It's a really tough thing, but it's really sad to see your kids go through that, you know, the heartache stuff. They'll always be my kids. You know, when Donnie was little and I would see him crying, it was everything I could do to motion to the nanny to take care of him and wipe his tears. You know what Donnie needs? He needs to get his mind off all this divorce stuff. Maybe go do a little trophy hunting. I'm not talking about elephants. I'm talking a new wife.
Ah, sure. Right. Listen, if you sat down with him, did you ever have the father and son heart to heart?
Of course I did. Yeah, we've talked about everything. I asked Donnie all of the questions a father asks his son. Are you feeling really sad? Do you need any help? Would it be weird if I asked her out once the divorce is final?
Luckily,
the answer to all those questions was no. So I'm good to go.
All right, let me switch topics here. The hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Aren't you concerned that you might have violated campaign finance laws?
You know, frankly, this chick has me more upset than the Hurricanes basketball team. You know, why would I ever be concerned with violating laws, Cochran? I have multiple teams of lawyers working around the clock. Laws don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance.
Right, right.
Look, if I was really going to pay off some broad, it'd be for a lot more money than 130 grand, mm-hmm. believe me. Mm-hmm. Nobody allegedly writes bigger hush money checks than me. Nobody. You heard me say allegedly, right?
Duly noted. You know, Stormy said she's trying to pay back the 130 grand so she can actually talk. What do you think of that?
Well, if she owes anyone money, it's my lawyer Michael Cohen's son. It came out of his bar mitzvah account, allegedly.
Thanks for calling, sir. Enjoy your
happy belated birthday, loser.
Okay, thanks.
I was wondering if he was going to say happy birthday.
Yeah, there you go. That's President Trump. Not creepy at all.
Loser, you still got, though.
A couple of minutes for 7. Back with this in a moment. Oh, let's do this. It won't take long. Oh, boy. Another tough night for the Hawks. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, your Blackhawks Express.
Jets winning 6-2.
There you go. That's the entire story from last night. Hawks' final weekend home game is Sunday night against the St. Louis Blues, right? And the Blues are in town?
Correct.
I think it's the Blues, yeah.
Who, by the way, remember the great start they got off to? And everybody's thinking, wow, it's going to be tough for the Hawks to catch the Blues. The Blues... looks like they're not going to make the playoffs either.
They've fallen off the cliff.
They have.
Yeah, they were in pretty good shape.
Yep.
6:59, News Next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We are pleased to have the mayor of County Cork, Ireland, Declan Hurley, here in studio. Good morning, Declan.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to see you.
You too.
Would you say hi to my brother-in-law, Ian, because he speaks Irish?
Ian Conestatu.
There you go. Very, very nice. By the way, speaking of hurley, it makes me think of hurling.
Yes.
It's the national sport, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes, one of them.
Do you know about hurling?
I do not.
Explain hurling, if you would.
Hurling is a game...
is nuts. That's what the explanation is.
Perhaps maybe over here, but back home, we take it very seriously, and we have an old saying that there's no such thing as a straight hurley. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But there's always a good turn at the end of a hurley.
Yes, and by that he means the turn in the... what is it called?
It's basically you have a long timber stick with a turn at the end, and you hit it with a slitter, we call it, small white ball, little bigger than a golf ball, and we just hit it around the field, and hopefully at some stage one of the opponent teams, either your team or the opponent team, scores goals or points for the duration of the game. So it's a wild sport.
Field hockey, kind of. Only
yes,
with
that'd be very,
ball,
yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Polo without the horse.
Yeah.
And what would a typical final score in a game be?
Oh, it could be 1-2. It could be 18-3. It could be 14. It just depends on the team, on the day. It varies.
Now, I think you know this about our culture, but our culture is filled with this fascination and love for professional athletes who make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Brian Gumbel's award-winning HBO show, Real Sports, did a feature on your country's most famous hurler. Is that the right term? Hurler?
Yes, it is. That's it, yeah.
Of the time, who is just, he's legendary. He is the, I don't know if you know these references, but he is the, he's the Hank Aaron of hurling. He's the Michael Jordan of hurling. He's the Wayne Gretzky of hurling. And he's got a real job.
Yeah.
He doesn't get paid to hurl.
No, it's all on a voluntary capacity. And from a very young age, that's how we train our young people. It's just a love of sport. It's not to make money, but it's just that sheer love of our culture.
I think it's great.
Somebody said it was either the World Cup or it was the rugby tournament that was at Soldier Field a few years ago.
That's right.
Everybody, was it rugby or was it
rugby.
World Cup? Okay, so
yeah.
It was rugby.
Yeah.
And they stood on the steps, the Irish fans stood on the steps at the Field Museum and sang your national anthem. And it was so beautiful. Mm. I know the video went viral yeah. and had like a million clicks or something because it was just
yeah. It's a pretty
so
good town. Pretty good town for the Irish.
Yeah, I'm getting that sense. I'm here now since Wednesday and I'm getting that sense of home. Personally, I'm a long ways from home, but I feel at home here these few days. It's fantastic to come here. And
are you a married man?
No, single man.
Oh, with this accent in town? How have you had any time to yourself whatsoever? Let me tell you something about Andre and Mary's team. They are so easy when it comes to an Irish accent.
We are.
So easy.
And we don't call it an accent back home. It's called a brogue.
A brogue.
A brogue. I apologize. Yes. I noticed some information about you, and I want to talk about being the mayor of County Cork, but one of your hobbies is dancing.
Yes, I love dancing.
What kind of dancing?
Yeah. Any kind, really. Ceilidh dancing, Irish dancing,
okay.
and just traditional country and Irish dancing. Once there's a timber floor and the music is good, you'll just see me strutting my stuff.
I get a quick lesson.
He's strutting his stuff.
I know. I get a quick lesson in Irish dancing last weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm told arms at your side, because the big myth is that you flail your arms. You keep your arms at your side and clench your fists, and it's all in the feet.
All in the feet.
On the legs.
Right. You have to defy gravity for a period of time.
You do indeed.
True Irish dancing.
It takes years of practice, but when you do, it's magic.
All right, so when you go to a wedding... in this country, if someone plays Bob Seger's old time rock and roll, a lot of white people will get up and dance, and it's very frightening. It looks like some sort of invasion. But when you go to a wedding, are you the first guy on the dance floor?
First on and the last off.
Is that right?
That's me. That's
all right, listen, yep. Single, this accent, and he loves to dance. I don't think he's going home Monday.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can I ask you about Irish cuisine? I want to know the myths and what we should do to celebrate. Like corned beef and cabbage is everywhere. Is that what you would traditionally eat?
Yes, basically a good feed of spuds is what we say back home. Drisheen is another term for it, but the good old hairy bacon and cabbage and white sauce is traditional. Cottage pie, again, and I suppose where I come from, Kinsale in the southern area, the south coast, is the gourmet capital of Ireland. And I suppose fish and maritime is very important as well too. But we're getting very cosmopolitan back home. So we're getting a lot of new cuisines are coming in. So we're not afraid to try new cuisines. But still, we recommend the old traditionals, of course, always.
But outside of Dublin, there's not fast food restaurants on every corner.
We have a few, but they're not on every corner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. But at the same time, it's good home cooked traditional grub is
right.
what we pride ourselves on.
And Guinness instead of green beer, right?
Always Guinness.
Always.
Warm.
There you go.
Oh no, cold.
Cold. Okay,
yes.
Not like those crazy Brits and Scots.
How about Irish coffee?
Yes, Irish coffee is a speciality.
What is a made up American thing for St. Patrick's Day that you don't do back home? Anything?
I think what I'm sensing here is the sense of community. There's a great sense of community and pride, and that reflects what we do, what we experience back home.
So it's authentic. We do it well.
It is absolutely Dutton style. I would have to say now in style. I've been here. This is my second trip back here to Chicago for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I was here 6 years ago, and I can say that from my past experiences, it's great to come here and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the passion that people have for the event that's in it, and it is a real passion. And we sense that every time.
It's nice to hear.
It is. And like, we're over here. I suppose we're ambassadors of our home. But we don't have to be ambassadors because we have a lot of ambassadors here. And that's a good feeling, a proud feeling to be away from home, but here in Chicago, feeling at home at the same time.
Can you imagine if he just wanders into Nordstrom later and goes,
gosh,
I just don't know. Could someone help me?
The flock of personal shoppers that you would have.
We were talking about politics here, and I don't want to put you on the spot because you're a guest in our country, and I'm not asking you to say something I haven't already said about our president. But it has to be weird from an international perspective to see some of the political troubles we're having now. Is it, or am I overstating that?
Well, I suppose we all have our own political troubles in our own countries, but certainly at the moment we are being kept entertained at home. That's the best way I can describe it. Without going saying too much.
Well, you took the high road there, my friend. What are politics like locally back
whoever
home?
Whoever is listening, I can show you. I will be going home next week, so there's no worries
okay.
there.
Okay. Politics back home, what is the climate?
At the moment, it's okay. Obviously, we have the Brexit issue, which is the UK leaving the European Union. And
yeah.
We have the issue. We've always had the issue of the border from the Northern Ireland. And that's becoming, I suppose, a contentious issue again. Are we going to have a border back again? Is it going to be a hard border, soft border? And again, the Northern, I suppose, political scene is in turmoil. They have no political structure in place at the moment, so they're a little bit at sea. So we're kind of watching that closely, because that will have a knock-on effect as to how we trade and do business with the UK. They're one of our biggest importers of our produce. But the Irish government, we're looking at how we can, I suppose, capitalise on the negatives. But like, we're promoting Ireland as the global island.
Could there be a unified Ireland in our lifetimes? A truly unified Ireland?
I think, yeah, well, we are moving in that direction. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I think, yes, the signs are starting to emerge.
For the good of everybody.
For the good of everybody, and hopefully, perhaps in my lifetime, I would like to see United Ireland.
We all know he said in his lifetime, because he's 41.
Right, exactly.
He's looking at me going, you're not going to see it, Steve.
You've got your research done, Steve.
Could Declan run for governor of Illinois?
I'd vote
curious.
For you in a minute.
Okay.
I'd like to hear it.
It's great to see you. I hope you've had fun, and we'll continue to have fun. I know you're going to be all over town today. And are you going to be in the boat tomorrow when the
we
river
are.
Is
we are. We have the privilege. We're going to be on the boat on the river for the greening tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. It's nice. Going to be a very special day. And we're really looking forward to, I suppose, celebrating our Irishness here in Chicago. And where better to do it than on the river when we're turning it green.
No shortage of green back home, but do you dye anything green there? Do you
we
dye
don't
any,
have to. We have the sweet green fields of home, and that's green enough for us.
Yeah. May the road rise to meet you. But I also think that possibly after a few too many pints in the pub, everything looks green anyway. Is that accurate?
We'll be toasting.
That's
you
for me to know when you find out.
Yes, it's exactly right.
Cilantro, right?
Is cilantro.
Cilantro.
Declan, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for having
me. Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you being here. And we would advise all of you, including me, make a trip to Ireland.
Please do, and may I take this opportunity to wish everybody here and at home a very happy St. Patrick's Day parade. Lough Fela de Padraig.
Thank you very much. And your new friend, my brother-in-law, Ian Martin, in his family, my sister and my beautiful nieces, they're all going back home in just a few weeks.
They'll be very welcome. The Irish door is always open, and there's always a Cead Mia Falta.
Cead Mia Falta.
Yeah, what he said. thank you, sir. Tickets, Hawks in Colorado. Season's slipping away here. It's so weird to be talking about the season being over.
It's never over in March. I mean, there are three games in April, but it's, yeah.
They could go on a thing now and just rip off 6, 7, 8 cups in a row. They're so disappointed. You know?
Uh-huh. Good. Yeah.
It's going to be a different looking team next year, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some changes are coming, but the Blackhawks will win again.
Yeah.
Tickets to see the Blackhawks against Colorado next Tuesday, March 20th, courtesy of the great people at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. You win these tickets for the Tuesday night game against the Avalanche, and you qualify.
I don't think it's pronounced that way.
Oh, it's not? No. I just got caught up in the whole accent thing with Declan.
Well, that's a good point.
You qualify for season tickets next year, all right? Here, and by the way, I talked to John DeCoste last night, and he's coming in on Tuesday to show off his new knee after a knee surgery. But I was talking to him last night, and he indicated that, today is another fabulous riddle. It couldn't be easier. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Famous Chicagoan. From Columbus, Georgia, and Auburn, you, the first base big man, Herb Baseball's black and blue, a Southside hitman, 18 years in the game, 35th was his street, 35 in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's pretty good writing.
Very good writing.
Yeah, that's pretty
really
good
really easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you looking confused about?
I know.
You don't know? You really don't know?
I don't.
Let me give it to you one more time.
All right, do it again. All right, I'm thinking.
From Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah, okay.
And Auburn, you.
Yeah.
The first base big man, Hurt Baseball's.
Oh, okay.
Black and blue. You got it now?
Yes.
Okay. A Southside hitman, 18 years in the game, 35th the street, 35 in the Hall of Fame. First correct answer. Let's go to the winner now. What line? Is it 5? Yes. Line 5.
So easy.
Colleen's in Chicago. Colleen, who is it?
Frank Thomas.
Yes, of course it's Frank Thomas. You a White Sox fan?
Yes, sir.
Well, are you excited about us having the Sox on the 720 WGN?
I am. I listen every morning, every ride on my way home, and I'm so excited.
It's excellent. Awesome. And you got Hawks tickets now for Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Who are you going to bring to the game with you?
My husband, John.
How long have you been married?
Be 5 years this year.
What do you love most about your husband, John?
He's a great husband and a great father.
Oh, do you have kids? How many?
2 boys, a one-year-old and a three-year-old.
Oh, that's fantastic. What are their names?
Jimmy and Marty, good Irish kids.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. What drives you the most nuts about your husband?
Nothing, really. He's the best.
That's sweet.
You know,
isn't that sweet?
Yeah, he's the best.
If we weren't on the air, would you tell me?
Oh, no.
Colleen, hold on. We got to get some information. You're the big winner. Congratulations. I'm going to do this very quickly here for Make America Vote Again. Mm-hmm. Make America Vote Again, if you want to win the hat. Mm-hmm. Okay? I got the hat. You want the hat? I got the hat. These highly attractive, very limited edition Make America Vote Again hats. You get the M, the A, the big V, and the A.
Yeah.
It says Make America Vote Again in the back, made by our friends at Rags of Honor.
We don't even have these. That's how special
they are. That's how good they are. Mm-hmm. Seventh caller that can, if you can convince Super Joe's in a bad mood today, that you should win, you are in. And let me just remind you one more time. You go to ballotpedia.org, ballotpedia.org. And just make a few simple clicks. You can print out a sample ballot to take into the voting booth with you, and you can research every candidate you're going to vote for. You simply have to select whether you're going to pick a Republican or a Democrat ballot. All right. Any questions?
No. Just vote.
All right. Just Super Joe, you'll tell us who won, and we'll come back and get the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 7:42 live in the Hill State Showcase Studio. We continue. We want you to vote no matter how you feel. We want you to vote in a primary on Tuesday. A big turnout is a big deal. Ivesforillinois.com is Jeannie Ives' website. Ives4Illinois.com. And she joins us now, and she'd like to be your next governor. Good morning, Ms. Ives.
Good morning, Steve.
Thank you for being on. You have become quite famous quite fast, the power of promotion and all of those things. But we've heard a lot about why Rauner is the wrong idea. Why are you the right idea?
Well, Illinois is ready for a change. We have to completely overhaul our state financially. And we can't continue to solve any of our problems if we're going to continue out migration. And so considering that Governor Rauner should not be elected as a Republican, and therefore cannot be elected in November of 2018, we needed an alternative to stand up against the Democrats who are all wanting a progressive income tax, which will destroy our economy once again, and they want uncontrollable spending. So that's the reason for this challenge. Well, we have to take Governor Rauner on.
This 44-point plan the governor had, which has been boiled down to 4 and then 2, which of those do you disagree with?
Yeah, I didn't disagree with any of them. But the truth is, he didn't get any of them across because he was unable to lead after basically lying to our caucus and then picking a personal feud with Mike Madigan.
That's really the main point here is how do you work with Madigan when no one else can? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you, because I think people understand this, but nothing gets voted on. Nothing gets through. Madigan has tremendous influence over the Democratic side in the Senate as well. And if he doesn't want it voted on or considered, then it's not going to be considered. What do you bring that's different that's going to make you successful with him where Rauner hasn't been?
That is the overall question. How do you move the state forward when Mike Madigan's still in charge? Well, hopefully Mike Madigan won't be in charge after November of 2018. I know that sounds like pie in the sky, but he's got, you know, now an ethics complaint against him. He is very vulnerable on this hashtag MeToo movement where he has failed to do anything to correct the sexual harassment problems down in Springfield. And 90% of Illinoisans now say Illinois is on the wrong track. That's up from 85% last year. So I think Illinois is ready for a change. But the truth is, if Mike Madigan's still there, we will work with Mike Madigan. We will work around Mike Madigan. But Governor Rauner blame-shifted all of his last 3 years to Mike Madigan. And the problem is here, though, that Rauner never ran his agencies well. He didn't do forensic audits. He didn't watch the spending in his agency, which is why you still had overspending at the agencies every single year he was there. He did not take on public corruption, which you do not need Mike Madigan's permission to do. So there's so many other things that he could have done. He could have actually sent his own balanced budget forward to the legislature. He never did that.
In the interest of time, I don't mean to talk over you, but in the interest of time, I want to make sure we get a bunch of stuff in here. Those are all things that Rauner's doing wrong, but I think we still need to get to what you're going to do right, as opposed to you're just going to work around him and work through. But let me get Andrea in here.
Representative, what's your relationship with the speaker now? Because I know we've seen these ads all over with you saying he's the powerful speaker of the House, and I know, and you have said as well, those words were taken completely out of context. So what's your relationship with him now?
You know what? I'm just another state rep that serves in the Illinois House. That's all I am. There is no relationship. I've only spoken to him over a microphone in committee or on the House floor, and that's the deal. I will take on his policies every chance I get, and that's what I've been doing. And so I think the way that you win against the Democrats is you actually have to make arguments and back it up with facts.
Well, I think
the
public
has to win support to do. Your plan.
Talking with Jeannie Ives, I think the public needs to know that too. So what would you point to as your best legislative accomplishment or something you really want people to know you got done?
Well, I led on the College of DuPage reform, which basically reform for government accountability at the college level. And in doing that, my plan was my bills were then taken up to the next level to all of higher education. In terms of limiting contracts, limiting severances and buyouts for public officials that weren't doing their job. So that's one thing that I've done. But the other thing I've done is I've been a leader on this property tax assessment system changes that are needed long before ProPublica and the Chicago Tribune went out with their entire report. I've been a leader on that because it's foundational to the education funding formula, and Rauner never took it on. And when the Democrats became very suspect on this issue in May after the Tribune's report, they stole my legislation and put it in place on themselves.
Is this stuff laid out on your website too for people that want to dig in a little deeper?
Sure, they can dig into my pension reform plan. They can dig into what I've done on assessments. They can look at my property tax plan, everything.
Ives for Illinois. All right, let's talk about the commercial. This is the elephant in the room. Do you, with respect for your conservative views, do you truly believe that transgender people are men in dresses trying to get into girls' bathrooms?
What that ad depicted was the ultimate result of Bruce Rauner's policy. It's a depiction of his policy choices. And so the truth is he took a bill that literally means there's no medical intervention, there's no medical sign-off on the doctor for somebody to change their sex. And this has far-reaching implications. All you need is an out-of-state, a licensed mental health professional to say that you can change your sex, and that has real policy problems. That means your grandmother, who may have to have a shared room at a nursing home or a hospital bed in a shared room, can literally be having her privacy invaded by somebody who says that they're the opposite sex. That's true.
But having said that, having
both males in the locker room with your eighth grade daughter.
Yeah, but having said that, I'm talking about your personal beliefs. Do you truly believe that that's what transgender people do, that that's what gay people do, that it's not about something they had no choice over, it's not about a position they are in life biologically, that they are truly predators? Because that's what I'm hearing.
Well, what we know is that they are truly predators in some cases. Not all cases, in some cases. And this happened in Department of Corrections, where there was a transgendered male who pretended to be a girl and went to the female, got transitioned in Illinois. This is not an out-of-state case. In Illinois, went to the female prison and then sexually assaulted another prisoner and had to be taken back to the male prison. So this is real lifetime stuff. This happens in real life.
Well, it also happens that heterosexuals prey on children.
That's
and
right.
Prey on others as well. So what do you do? What do you do about that?
Well, we pass laws against that too.
Those laws already exist. My point is the commercial portrays you, and I'm curious if you have anything that you regret about the commercial, because the commercial portrays you to a large percentage of the state's population as a bigot. Is that how you feel you should be portrayed to that population?
Not at all. I'm not a bigot. No. I don't hide my conservative views. At least I'm being honest about them. when it comes to public policy. But this public policy bill has real implications for minor children. And you can look at the Wisconsin case where a female sued her school and got an $800,000 settlement because she wanted to actually be have overnight accommodations with the males on a field trip.
Okay, Representative.
So, you know, or you have the daughter, daddy-daughter dance being canceled in out in Staten Island, out in Long Island, rather, because the transgender community was upset about it.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm not that concerned about Staten Island.
The Illinois Republican Party chairman wanted you about, I think, a week ago, maybe just over a week ago, to take that ad down and after the Tribune called it racist, sexist, and homophobic. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, so, you know, he doesn't understand the policies either, quite frankly. The Illinois Republican Party leaders are very much uninformed with what's going on down in Springfield on policy. And I told them that back in May. I said, you ought to actually show up at one of your state reps' town halls so that you understand which bills are going through and you can help fight it. Because the Illinois Republican Party, as constitute, which we really call the Rauner Republican Party because he's bought and paid for so many of them, what they need to understand is what's really happening in Springfield from a policy standpoint, and they have no clue.
We're going to
been ineffective, obviously.
We're going to quickly run out of time here, so let me hit you with a couple of quickies here. And I apologize if it doesn't do justice to the longer answer, but as you understand, we're short on time. Do you believe that all abortion should be opposed, even in the case of rape or incest or the life of the mother?
I've always said that if it's the life of the mother, then, of course, medical doctors will do what's necessary to save the life of the mother. Absolutely. That's my position.
But rape or incest, no?
No.
Okay. What about arming teachers in schools?
If a teacher is fully qualified and wants to do it, and the school district approves, then I don't have a problem with that. If they are trained and they retrain regularly and they shoot regularly, and they don't have a problem caring, I don't have a problem with it either, as long as they pass all the other checks that citizens have to pass in order to be a concealed carry holder.
And I understand it's not a foolproof system. We had a story 2 days ago where a California teacher in a safety demonstration with tremendous skill and training shot a student accidentally.
I know, and that's terrible. I don't know. But when I was in the military, firearm safety was one of the most extensive things that we trained about. Always. You check your weapon. You understand if it's loaded or not. You always understand where you sit. And the fact that the teacher was even just brandishing it around without having a real incident is a problem with me. So I don't know what was going on there, but that is not something that a trained individual would even do. They would not be pulling out their weapon to show it to a kid.
I want to give you the last word here, but before we do that, who's worst in your world, Rauner or Madigan, for the future of the state?
Well, obviously Mike Madigan.
Well, it's not crazy. It's a fair question based on what we've talked about. And the reason I ask it is because if you don't win on Tuesday, are you willing to publicly support Governor Rauner?
I will vote for the man in 2018 if he wins on Tuesday. Sure.
Okay. Last word for you. What is it? Well, Andrea, get in here one more.
Jenny, wanted to get your stance on guns as well. Would you support a bill banning assault weapons and bump stocks in Illinois and mandating bulletproof vests only for law enforcement?
I voted to ban bump stocks already. That's my vote. The rest of the stuff, I would oppose.
The last word to you. Is it just anything you want to say in the 30 seconds or so we have left that people aren't aware of or you feel is, you know, misconstrued about you? Anything at all?
This is a change election in 2018 for Illinoisans. You're going to decide in this election year the trajectory of the state for the next 20 years. And Illinois can no longer afford the government that we have, and if we don't streamline government and bring back business and expand our tax base, there's no hope for you to actually own your home at the end of 30 or 40 years living here. You're going to just rent from the government. So we got to control property taxes. We got to bring back the tax base, and nobody is going to stoke the tax revolt that has to happen in this state this year but me.
It's Ives for Illinois, Ives for Illinois.com. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We just got a second here. Look, there's a million things I could say about that conversation with Jeannie Ives. But again, if you heard it, it speaks for itself. But let me just say this.
You couldn't help it. Just do it. Just say it.
The combination of an incredibly narrow, tight, judgmental worldview in combination with a lack, admitted by her, lack of experience and no specific plan on how you would do anything different to beat the Mike Madigan problem in Springfield adds up to why would you? That's it. My opinion. And again, the Republican Party I grew up with is completely unrecognizable now because you could substitute judgmental for conservative. You know, the far left, frankly, is no better, but the far right has never been more judgmental, and we're right and you're not, so get out. And if you're the governor of the state of Illinois, if you're the president of the United States, you're the president of the Republicans and the Democrats, the gay people, the straight people, the transgender people, and the same goes for the governor of this state. You don't get to just tell people how to behave and how to live their lives because they don't agree with your worldview. This, and we've got a break. Or are we going to the news here? Which? Go ahead. Tell me, Super Joe. I can live it.
We need a break.
Okay. We'll do that break. Then we'll come back with the news on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh.
Jeannie Ives, The Interview, soon to be a one-woman play. Is up in podcast form now, WGNradio.com, and wherever you pick up your podcast from this show. And you should listen to, you know, you should never miss any of the podcasts. We appreciate you checking me for punctuation and letting me know with notes after the show. Now, there was a reporter on the show who pointed out something from the Jeannie Ives interview that is worthy of mention. Can I mention the reporter's name? All right, I can't mention the reporter's name. Let's just say it came from me.
Okay.
Do you remember the part of the interview where there was a Staten Island story that was brought up?
Yes.
And we were kind of confused as to why Ms. Ives would bring up Staten Island.
Yes.
The reporter on the show pointed out that maybe she doesn't know that the Staten Island Ferry is a boat. That could be the confusion.
Oh, yes, there you go.
Right?
There you go.
Yeah, it's a good point, I thought.
Good thing you kept the reporter anonymous.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Rhymes with Schmenet. What?
Was that was you?
No. No, it wasn't.
What's wrong with you?
No, not absolutely not. Okay. Not a chance. Show business. Dean is dancing in some sort of Irish jig situation.
Yeah.
At what bar is that?
That's Bourbon Street.
Okay, so they're having a fine green time.
Mont Greenwood.
But I'd love if you give me some show business news.
Okay, well, we touched on this a little bit. Donald Trump Jr.'s wife, Vanessa, has filed for divorce. They released a joint statement
that's
yesterday.
Kind of surprising, right?
It is surprising. Yeah, they had... now, remember, she was a model, and Donald Trump, as in President Trump, introduced his son to Vanessa and went over to her at the time and said, hey, this is my son. You guys should start talking.
And then like 10 or 15 minutes later went back and said, hey, this is my son. Like
right.
He hadn't introduced her. So he's obviously going around the room trying to hook up his kid.
Right.
She then had a second date with Junior.
Junior.
And I don't use this word, as you know, but the quote that she's admitted to was, oh, you're the guy with the retarded dad.
Quote.
That's a quote from her.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
She obviously married Junior.
Yes.
They've been married how long? 9 years?
12 years.
12 years. They have five kids?
Five children.
So, look, regardless how I feel about Trump and the family, that's a sad story.
It is a very sad story because they're young kids. So they're not adult children. They're young kids. They've released a joint statement saying after 12 years of marriage, we've decided to go our separate ways. We'll always have tremendous respect for each other and our families. We have five beautiful children together, and they remain our top priority, and we ask for your privacy during this time.
Sometimes I just want to speak for people that are divorced. It's sad to stay married when you're not happy and maybe they fight in front of the kids and things like that.
So listen, I don't care about the adults. I'm concerned about the children.
Well, I
the
know,
adults
but when you grow up
choice.
And your parents hate each other,
yeah,
that's
but we don't know that that's
them.
The case. I'm just saying that this is a tough road for them to hoe and a tough road for them to get over. I don't disagree with your point at all. Yeah, people that don't like each other shouldn't stay married, but it doesn't mean it's not hard for the kids.
Well, yeah, but it's also hard when your parents don't like each other and stay married
no, you're
for
not
you.
Wrong. You're not wrong. You know, you're not wrong at all. My parents were married 45 years. They stopped liking each other about 15 minutes after they got married.
No,
that wasn't healthy.
No. All right, so moving on, we have a Katy Perry story in the news for you. You know, now she is an American Idol judge. And
I don't understand this story. What did she do?
Well, there was a contestant. His name's Benjamin Glaze. And what happened is he performed. She loved the performance so much. She said, come on over the table. I loved it. Give me a kiss. And he said, on the cheek. And she said, yes. And she turned her cheek. And he started to give her a kiss on the cheek. And she turned. And they kissed
kiss
on the
him
lips.
The mouth?
To kiss him on the lips, and he was
is
not
that the
happy
promo
about
thing
it.
Where he falls down?
Yes, yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, but I don't understand the problem.
He says it was uncomfortable, and it was his first kiss ever, and he didn't consent to kiss her.
Wait,
and
how old's a kid?
He's
20.
19 or 20.
He's 20 years old. He said, "I wanted to save it for my first relationship. I wanted it to be special."
Okay. I mean, that's fair,
he
but
said
how would
he's not happy?
How would Katy Perry know that?
No, she didn't.
And in the midst of a show business goof around situation.
Right, and I don't think she meant anything disrespectful or mean about it. He said, I know a lot of guys would be like, heck yeah, but for me, I was raised in a conservative family and I was uncomfortable immediately. I wanted my first kiss to be special.
Did he get picked to go to Hollywood? Mary Vanderbilt?
He got picked.
Oh, no, he didn't get picked. And I think some of the problem with this whole thing was that I think it screwed up his audition. And because he rushed through it, I think he was so flustered. I mean, you know.
Wait, she kissed him before he sang?
Yes.
Well, why would that happen?
Because they have all this background about each contestant. They found out that he was kind of a little socially awkward kid at first. And they bring that into the whole interview beforehand. They set it up, you know. And then Luke, what's his name? Luke Bryant says, oh, you've never kissed a girl before? You know, with her song. And
yeah, like,
it brought it up. And that's it started before the audition.
You know, the kids today, they're all about asking permission for all of these things.
Yeah.
May I kiss you?
Yeah.
Yes. No. No, you can't.
I understand why the kid would be upset, but I also understand that Katy Perry wouldn't have known that. You know, it's not like you go, if I do this, will you then? I mean, you know, it's not the way life works.
And then putting
it
I think
in
it
the,
was yeah. all blown out of proportion.
It was.
She's just.
Well, I hope the kid's
around.
Okay. And
sure,
you know,
he's fine.
I know Katy Perry's okay, so back to you.
Fine. All right, how about a happy one now? Reese Witherspoon's daughter, Ava Philippe, is dating Paul McCartney's grandson. How cute is that?
Paul McCartney's grandson is old enough to date. Wow.
I know.
She looks just like her mother, too. Oh, my gosh. Exactly.
Ava Philippe and Paul McCartney's grandson, Arthur Donald McCartney, enjoyed an adventurous night out.
Wait, who's her mom?
Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon. Oh, Reese Witherspoon. I missed that part of the story. Sorry.
Her mom. And
so Reese
Ryan
Witherspoon's son and Paul McCartney's grandson.
Reese Witherspoon's daughter.
Or daughter, I'm sorry.
And follow along. I know the Katy Perry thing threw you. But
that was more the genius.
One of which will be podcast at WGNRadio.com.
Right,
the other will not. Yeah, but Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Philippe have a daughter, Ava. She's a beautiful girl. She is dating Paul McCartney's grandson, Arthur Donald.
Well, I hope they're very, very happy, and I don't know what the Staten Island Ferry has to do with any of this.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Should probably just leave it at that.
All right. And is that all three of the stories you wanted to tell me?
Those are all three of the stories.
All right, fine. Yeah. And you're not going to be on TV this weekend.
I'm going to be on Saturday. We're going to be in Willowbrook at an Irish Fest.
Okay.
And then the Dying of the River and the parade.
But you're not going to be on Sunday. Andrea makes
Sunday
a point
off.
Of working 7 days a week.
Yes, but I took Sunday off because you and Mary Sandberg Boyle have said, please take a day off and stop saying...
I believe I said please. I believe Sandberg said do it.
I know.
Yes.
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 So you both inspired me.
All right. Well, enjoy your day off, you slacker.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Havana, nana. Half of my heart is in Havana, nana.
Well, everybody's excited about Loyola. None more so than their official mascot, Bennett Wake Knight.
He's their official mascot.
I got
in
promoted
studio now.
Yeah, you know, Sister Jean's getting a lot of pub because she's 98 and adorable,
as she should be getting pub.
I think you're adorable. How old are you? 22?
25.
That's what I thought.
I'm gaining up on her.
25 and 6'5".
Yeah,
6'5" and 25. So, yeah, are you excited about your boys? Your Ramblers?
Yeah. Well, it's not too often that you get this kind of publicity at a school like this. We're kind of mid-sized, small, big. So
how many kids in the school? Undergrad.
Undergrad, there's just under 10,000, but it's a big commuter school. So okay. There's not a lot of that presence on the campus.
Got it.
So it feels like a small city school compared to, you know, a Northwestern or a bunch of a DePaul or something. So it's really cool to kind of be up on this national stage when you're just kind of a small fish in the pond.
Where'd you watch the game?
I was at a client event actually yesterday, but we were at the public house. They rented out the bar, and the last half was everybody at the entire bar was rooting for Loyola.
And when the shot goes down to win the game, bananas, I assume?
Everybody jumping up, everybody screaming, hugging. It was really, really cool.
You going to beat Tennessee?
Fingers crossed. I mean, we've got
We need more than fingers. We got Sister Jean.
Well, yeah, that's an
you have to, because I have them going to the Sweet 16.
That's the main reason to win. Andrea's pool. Yes, Andrea's bracket. That's exactly right.
We got to help the rest of the country with the brackets.
So how much of a homer are you in your own bracket? How far does Loyola go?
I got them going over Tennessee. That's after that, they're projected to possibly face Cincinnati, I believe. And that will be... That will be.
But you got him into the round of 16. You got two wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Dave, would you like to grill Bennett?
Well, you brought it up earlier. The game of change in college basketball.
Right.
And so this was a game in 1963 when the Ramblers won the national championship in the NCAA tournament against Mississippi State. Do you know, as a diehard Ramblers fan, you know the significance, Bennett?
Yes, it was I believe it was the state of Mississippi saying that they would not allow this game to happen because they didn't want Loyola's black players on the court. They didn't want to have that on television.
1962?
Yeah.
63.
And so
63.
They had to take a bus in the middle of the night to get into Mississippi in order to play this game. And the game eventually happened, and it's one of the most historic ones ever.
And imagine the grief those kids took.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
during the game,
I think it was to get out of Mississippi.
Oh, to get
and
out.
To get
okay.
To they played it in Michigan.
Oh right, right. Meeting up in the middle from
yeah,
right.
but it was
but to safely get out of Mississippi, they left in the middle of the night.
Right,
they
left in the middle of the night, and the coach he decided he was not going to adhere to the wishes of the governor, who was a segregationist.
Right.
So didn't want the game
a racist
played. Yeah, well,
yeah, yeah, you used the
absolutely.
Nice word. Yeah,
yeah.
So there you go, Bennett.
Yeah, we're excited. We're
that's on a pop quiz, by the way, what Dave just said.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope I passed.
Well,
no, you did. You did very good.
Now,
I learned.
Thank you, Bennett.
More than I would have.
Now, Bennett, say hello to Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Jody, pull that microphone there in front of you. Jody was nice enough to pick up a charitable auction item, which allowed her to come in here and hang out with us. What a win.
What a win. Yeah.
Yes. It's nice to meet you. What do you do?
Nice to meet you, too.
You're a chef.
I am a professional chef. I am focused on dietary needs, so I cook for cancer patients and diabetics and renal failures.
Well, I think we know who's going to heaven.
Cook for a cause.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's called Cook for a Cause?
No, that's just what I say.
That's what you say.
Right.
All right. Well, that's very nice of you. That's got to be rewarding and incredibly heartbreaking work at the same time.
It is. I meet some fabulous people and, you know, it's the good and the bad.
And you know our friend Jennifer Weigel.
I do. I'm spiritual, damn it.
Yeah.
So you met Jen at the Wilmette, or you knew her prior to that?
Actually, I knew her prior to that. I used to be a food blogger for Chicago Now.
Okay.
So,
and she's a blogger, and bloggers got together and blogged?
Exactly. So way back in the day, and been kind of connected to her ever since.
Well, I appreciate your generosity, and I like that you're hanging out. Hang out a little more. John Williams will be here soon. You can see what a whack job he is.
Awesome. Thanks again for having me. This is a bucket list and a dream come true.
Very nice.
So, thanks.
Very, very nice. Thank you.
Go Loyola.
Yeah, get the
go
get
Ramblers.
On, Ramblers. Come on, Ramblers.
We're going to do it.
But are there the little Rambler? Like AMC Ramblers you can buy, you know, toys, those type of things. Remember the AMC Rambler car? Remember that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I do. I don't think Bennett does.
But do you know the actual original mascot of what a Rambler was before they changed it to the wolf?
Drunks wandering town to town?
It was essentially a hobo.
A hobo.
Oh, really? What?
One that rambles from town to town.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So we were the Loyola Chicago Hobos Ramblers for years.
I did not know that.
And you just got voted, I think it was number 52 on the greatest mascots.
Yeah.
But why? Time. They changed because they thought it was somehow inappropriate to have a hobo as your mascot,
a wanderer.
Yeah, and
but hold on, this
days,
is in the Franciscan
issues.
College system.
Yeah,
right. Yes,
yeah, the Ignatius.
So is it because we're keeping the Ramblers because we're providing a mission or faith and hope to people who ramble.
You know, I think that's what they wanted to start it off with, but it evolved when, you know, Rogers Park was evolving as well. And
right.
It just made sense, I guess.
Right. But that's why the chant, "Give me a dollar," is so famous.
It's my favorite.
With Loyola fans. It's 8:32. We're back at the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I used to be a disc jockey. So you have to play a lot of the hits over and over again. I really don't like that song. Crank it up. Come on. Crank it up. You remember this song?
Yeah.
How could you forget?
Spin Doctors, right?
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler, right.
What's the name of the lead guy with the big dude with the harmonica?
John Popper.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Is it?
Oh. I think that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I like this song.
You're wrong. It's 8:40.
Figure out the words.
All right, now you can shut it off. It's 8:43. The Steve Cochran Show continues. And Alexa's standing by. A little backstory here. United Airlines.
Southwest.
But the backstory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
United Airlines this week accidentally killed a dog. Dog was put in the overhead compartment of a plane against the best wishes of the people that owned the dog. When the plane landed, the dog was dead.
Right.
That's a problem. They also sent a German Shepherd to Japan.
Yes.
That German Shepherd was safely returned to Kansas, its original destination. Tokyo, Kansas. A lot of confusion. And that dog is okay now.
Dog's fine.
So you think, well, do the other airlines have issues? Well, this is a weird story. So what happened?
Well, what happened, we're going to talk with Alexis Armstrong, who was on a Southwest flight on Wednesday, bound from Chicago to Atlanta. And as they were getting ready to take off, and she'll tell you the story, too, there was a family who was asked to get off of the plane. But there was a lot of back and forth going on. There was a daughter who was with her father and another woman, believed to be the grandmother or another relative. And the girl was a little anxious, a little upset. Wouldn't sit down. The flight attendants came back and told the father, please buckle her in. Long story long.
This is during the boarding process?
This is as the plane was taxiing.
Oh, now the kid's moving around?
Right. So, and like I said, Alexis will tell the story. She got out her cell phone video and started recording. The family eventually got kicked off the plane.
Alexis, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for being on. Where were you going?
We were leaving Chicago to Atlanta for a conference in Atlanta.
What's the business? What do you do?
For BPD Social Work Conference.
Well, good for you. And thanks for doing that work. All right. So we've all been on airplanes where we've seen kids that are scared, they're tired, they're hungry, they got a diaper issue, they got a whatever, and they're upset. And those kids can range, if one's calm to 10 is out of control, all the way throughout the entire gamut. So where was this kid on the 1 to 10 scale?
So I did just want to correct. It was not why the plane was taxiing. We were still boarding.
Oh, you're still in the boarding process. Okay.
We were still in the boarding process, yes. By the time we did pull out to start taxiing to the runway, she was calmly seated in her own seat by then. So when the plane did begin moving, she was sitting on her own, buckled up. But before we did pull out, she maybe had a 2 to 3 minute fit. I mean, she was scared. She didn't want to sit in her seat alone, which she's 2 years old. You don't know if it's her first time on a flight. It's understandable for a child to be scared.
And is mom and dad or mom or whoever's flying with her next to her?
Yes. So it was her father who was closest to the window, and then it was her seat that was in the middle, and then I'm saying maybe grandma or another relative who was on the aisle end.
Right, and she wanted to be in the lap because she was scared about flying.
Correct.
Or scared about being on a plane. Obviously, she'd understand right. All the what's going to happen. So it took him a couple of minutes to calm her down. Was the kid out of control?
No, not at all. I mean, she threw a fit probably two times that a flight attendant had stopped by and kind of told the father, you need to calm her down or she's going to be escorted off the plane. And it's like as soon as one left, they went and got another one. And then in the video, you see the woman in the red blazer, which her name is Michelle. She approaches the father and says, you need to calm her down or you're going to be escorted off the plane. And that's when he kind of got a little bit irritated, and he said, you know, I need a minute. Can you give me a minute to calm her down? You're in my face. I'm trying to calm her down. I just need a minute. He never once raised his voice at her. He was not disrespectful. He just told, you know, he was getting frustrated. He's trying to calm the child down. She continues to stand over them, and he just kind of told her, like, back up. Give me a minute to calm the baby down.
Right.
And rather than give him a minute, I think she went to the back and called the captain or, you know, whoever, security, whoever she called. I don't think she liked that response. She just gave him, like, a little bit of attitude and said, oh, okay, and walked away.
Well, here's what I don't understand. I mean, you're a mom, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so you get it. I mean, kids are kids. They're going to have these kind of moments, and it's no fun for the other people on a plane, and there's people who choose not to have kids who always complain the most about this stuff. But you also have to understand, we're all sharing the same space. In this case, we're all trying to get to Atlanta. This is not going to be a situation that's going to last for the two-hour flight, as far as we're concerned, if the parents can calm her down. Wouldn't it make more sense for Southwest to give him a minute to see if the child can pull it together? As opposed to stopping everything, waiting for security to come on, creating an incident, because I got to believe that took longer than anything.
It did. We stood on the runway. Our plane was delayed almost an hour over an incident that was resolved before we even began moving. I mean, she was sat in her seat by herself and calmed down before we even, you know, started moving. Once we hit the runway, the captain came over the intercom and said, you know, sorry, folks, we're going to head back to the gate for a customer service issue, and we have to fill up gas. And two things in my head, it didn't even click. The customer service issue was going to be going back to the gate for this family, because nobody ever approached after Michelle left for the second time. You know, nobody approached again. And the child was in her seat and calm, so I figured maybe there was something else going on. And then my second thought was, Southwest, what do you mean we need to fill up on gas? Like, we already pulled
up. Right.
Before we leave.
Right. Yeah, I know we were idling for a little extra bit, but you should have more than a little to get to Atlanta. All right, so here's the response from Southwest Airlines. Andrea.
Southwest says, after pushback Wednesday night, flight 1683 to Atlanta returned to the gate at Midway to allow supervisors to board the aircraft. Our initial reports indicate a conversation escalated on board between the crew and a customer traveling with a small child. We always aim for a welcoming and hospitable experience and regret the inconvenience to all involved. The traveling party was booked on the next flight to Atlanta after the original flight continued as planned, and we will reach out to the customer to listen to any concerns they have about their experience and look forward to welcoming them on board again soon.
Well, look, here's the deal. The video exists. The video exists showing the incident. I defended flight attendants this week because they're worthy of defense. I defended the airlines this week as well. Parents and kids and passengers can be a huge pain in the butt. In this circumstance, Alexis, what you eyewitnessed doesn't sound like an incident worthy of costing you an hour and removing this family.
It wasn't. I don't think it was at all. I mean, I felt awful for the family. I've flown Southwest many times, even with my young son, and I would choose over and over again to fly Southwest. And I don't think they're a bad airline. I don't. I just think that the flight attendant and the flight crew that day, it looks like they were on a power trip. They just, you can see Michelle approaching after, I don't know if he's security or who he was that approached the family. But she even then came over to intervene in that. I feel if you had an issue, Michelle, like, you contacted, you know, higher authorities. Why are you back in the middle of the situation again? I felt like she just wanted to be relevant. She was on a power trip. It was sad. It was, I understand very much so if the child was standing when we were taking off. And I just want that to be clear, because so many people are saying, well, you know, it's a liability, FAA regulations. Everyone is misunderstanding. The child was seated in her seat and buckled by the time we took off. She was not standing. She was not, you know, on her father's lap. She was in her own seat.
So they're backing up. She's calmed down. I mean, she may not be completely calmed down, but she's not making a scene.
Right.
And they're backing the plane up. They're underway. And then they stop and they bring it back after the situation has been resolved.
The only thing I would say, though, I would say the decision was made by the pilot, because the flight attendants are repeating on your video, Alexis, the decision has been made. So at that point, maybe the pilot didn't know that the little girl was already buckled in. He was going on
but
the information.
But wouldn't that be the flight attendant's responsibility?
Yeah.
To, and flight attendants can call and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that your responsibility as a flight attendant to say the incident's under control? Because you would think,
right,
just by the basic law of the land, the pilots have to go by what the flight attendants,
sure,
say, because supposedly they're trained to decide if an incident is worthy of intervention.
Right, and they make the ultimate decision.
Right, they're the cop, right, in the sky.
Also, if that was the case, and the pilot thought that the child was standing or not buckled or unruly, why would he have backed out and pulled away?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. It's absolutely a good point. Alexis, I thank you for the information, and I'm not the biggest fan of video for every situation, but I think in your case, this vindicates the parents and tells a true story. And in this case, the airline went really overextended. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you guys for getting it out there. Thank you for clarifying and, yeah, hopefully getting this family a better apology from Southwest, because that was a very generic apology, and I think that they're owed a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Thanks,
appreciate
Alexis. It. And again, to be clear, that's not her family, so she doesn't have a foot in that race.
Yeah, and Dave, you've probably been in this situation. I don't know. My kids were perfect. I'm sure yours were. Mary Vandeveld, your kids were perfect as well.
Of course.
But when a child is acting out and you're in a group situation, restaurant, you know, airplane certainly, or something else, nobody feels worse about it than the parent.
Of course not.
Unless you're a completely clueless, right, parent.
Right.
So I feel badly for the dad and the mom that were trying to get the situation under control. So anyway, Southwest says they're on it, and hopefully they figure it out. And it's just, as a Becky from Champaign listening, she called and go, what happened to the friendly skies? Remember when flying used to be a pleasure?
Used to look forward to,
right,
it.
I mean, Steve, remember you get on a plane and you go, this is great. I'm on a plane.
You used to dress up and put on a shirt and a tie, and now it's
and
like
a jaunty cap.
You expect livestock to come out of the cabin now.
Right.
You get peanuts and water. You don't have to pay for it.
Right. You got people bringing on trunks of clothing, stuffing them into the overhead compartment.
I can't tell you the last time I looked forward to flying.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I used to fly all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And now, I you know, once a month maybe, but it's a pain now.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I blame the advent of the neck pillow.
What are you talking about?
I think that's what started making people too comfortable. And
you mean they started treating it like
there.
Their house then?
Yeah, because, like they're on their couch or something.
Yeah, so that's why they're taking their shoes off.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you've been listening to old people on a porch drinking lemonade.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why the neck pillow would somehow cause,
yeah, because everybody just got relaxed and treated it like their house.
Can I say alert? Can I say something about the neck pillow? Aren't those more of a hindrance? Because don't you have to carry them around?
Yeah, but they're
so
compress.
Bulky.
They're almost made of Nerf.
Yeah,
they're so bulky.
I see people standing there with it around their neck, yeah, like it's an accessory, like because their, yeah, hands are full. It's a horrible scene.
Hey, do they have neck pillows with earbuds, with headphones?
That's not a bad idea. That could be like
no,
the
I don't want
gadget.
These people. People should come on with nothing.
What about massaging neck pillows with earbuds?
No. How about a magazine?
They work great in the car, too, by
neck,
the way.
A magazine? What's a magazine?
Yeah, a neck pillow that has the extension of the mask that comes up to cover your
eyes. There you go.
Well.
Can I just say,
a flip-up mask on a neck pillow that massages with earbuds.
I sat next to Mary Sandberg on the way to Vegas and had a wonderful flight and a great conversation.
The sucking up
just
continues.
Between ourselves and a mag and a people.
Your
magazine.
Fear of Sandberg is
no.
Therapy. You know, you need therapy.
I like Sandberg.
Texters, it would have been much nicer if the flight attendant would have walked over and said, Dad, you got about 7 minutes until we have to push back. We really have to have her in her seatbelt and in a calm voice as opposed to a whole lot of tension. Flight attendant point of view at 312, as a flight attendant, I can update on the flight deck the situation, but it's ultimately the pilot's decision to return to the gate. So there you go. All the answers.
You know, it's what
and
we
even
do
more
here.
Questions.
It's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Solve the world's problem.
Look at those guys. You see those guys at CLTV?
Hey, CLTV.
CLTV looking at you right now. Yeah. You're on TV right now.
So are you. Well, the back of your head is.
Still available as billboard space. Thank you, CLTV. They do the 9 o'clock hour and the 3 o'clock hour with Rowan Anna. Let's do the news, right? Is it news time? No, it's another break. Holy mackerel, we're successful. We're back after this to start the 9 o'clock hour at 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
912, make it 913. live in the Allstate Showcase Studio and on CLTV. We continue. John Williams is going to come in a little while. Do we know if he learned how to park in the lot yet?
I think he did. I'm no longer next to him.
I feel a little bad about my criticism of his parking, and I'll own this when he comes in. The parking situation that we have, the lines aren't really painted very brightly at all. So when I roll in at 5 o'clock in the morning, I used to have a parking space where I could line myself up with a support beam.
Yes.
For the street that holds NBC. Uh-huh. It's an important beam. That is no longer where I park. I park a few spaces over, which, by the way, is outrageous.
Yeah.
And pulling into that and getting the Tahoe lined up is more difficult than
White lightning.
You jumped in. Oh, yeah, boy. It was you.
Okay.
Rachel?
So parking with John Williams coming up.
Oh. Huh?
People say this is must listen. This is the type of thing is why.
Really? Because remember what his wife said?
Yeah. Brenda was upset with you.
She was. I didn't know.
And dancing, too. I think we're going to be talking about some dancing.
Yeah, John is dancing with the stars. What was Brenda upset with me about? That's John Williams' wife.
About
mocking his parking?
Yeah, but she also said he was a bad parker. She did finally come around.
So she defended her husband, but she was still mad at me.
Yes, basically.
Got it.
So we're all good.
It is 9:15. Happy to have in studio Wendy DeBoe, President and CEO of United Way Metro Chicago. And we try to catch up in this hour with people doing great things. And you certainly know the name United Way. So it's time for you to brag a little bit. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Steve.
How are you? Nice
great
to see you. United Way Metro Chicago, are you off to a good year?
We are off to a great year. We are doing some super transformative things this year that's really focused on everything that's going on in the challenges that we have in the city. We have a new neighborhood network initiative where we're hardwiring social services to sustainably improve lives in neighborhoods.
It's a big deal. So when people wonder, where does my United Way money go, this is part of it for sure. And is the mission changed in some way, or is this just part of the umbrella?
You know, the mission has not changed. The mission has always been to serve those in greatest need. It's a new transformative way to get at the challenges in our city right now during some tough times. We've always worked on the areas of education, health, financial stability, and safety, but we're coming at it from a new, very, very innovative point of view. We're working with neighborhood coalitions deep inside of neighborhoods, helping to backbone support their agendas, their strategies for change in the neighborhood, and wrap around that with funding, with coordination, measurement systems, boots on the ground.
And you're focused on 10 communities in particular, is that right?
It is 10 across Chicagoland, city and suburbs, in some of the areas that are working on some significant challenges in those areas and bringing a lot of energy in terms of leadership in the community.
Well, you got to have local feedback, right? So where does that come from? The schools, the churches, people in general, who?
Yeah, you actually have to have local leadership leading all of this, setting the agenda. So for us, it's really, we are working through lead partners, community partners, neighborhood councils, development corporations, and then through those lead entities, they're bringing in the schools, faith-based organizations, in many cases, a lot of other social service organizations, the police, a lot of different community.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Civic organizations that have to get involved to make change.
How do you decide which neighborhoods to go into? Because I'm sure they all want you there.
You know, that's a great question. So we always have looked at need. You know, where is their demographic need that's really something that syncs with our mission.
Sure.
But also in communities where there's a lot of great leadership, a lot of great leading organizations, people that want to make change, that want to work together in this coordinated way so that we can wrap around the momentum. It's really kind of being led from the ground with United Way as a backbone.
Tell me about Kelly High School.
So we are super excited about Kelly High School. Kelly High School is the public high school in Brighton Park. That was our first neighborhood network that we started with 4 years ago.
And 4 years ago, pretty big struggle, right?
And 4 years ago, a lot of challenges. Part of the reason we partnered so significantly with the Brighton Park Neighborhood Council, that's the lead entity there, a great organization, that's brought in about 30 coalition partners. Brighton Park was somewhat off the map in terms of public funding. It's part of the reason United Way is the largest private funder, said, wow, we could make a big difference here.
Sure.
Working with the community leaders, and they have set the agenda. One of the main pieces of their agenda for the community is a 90% graduation rate at the public high school, Kelly High School.
And right now it's at 80.
And right now it's at 80. And when we started, it was at 68%.
That's tremendous. It's a big deal.
Went up almost 20%.
Well, it's a big deal because you're changing kids' lives. You're giving kids a chance to maximize their lives, showing them the power of an education and making them belong, helping them see how important it is to have that kind of focus. You don't have to go into every school and go, Timmy, it's time for homework.
Thank goodness we don't. We don't have to do that.
Right.
Don't you have two now? Some of the community members and students that you've taught are now coming back to either tutor or kind of giving back to the community?
So that's a big part of this work, too. One of our goals in working with all the community partners is that the residents in the community want to stay or want to come back. And so we do. A big part of this work, this is really a new spin, I would say, kind of an updated model of a resettlement house, but for the neighborhood, where you've got a lot of different kinds of wraparound services, tutoring, mentoring, healthcare services, mental health services, early childhood.
Well, that's that boots on the ground piece, right?
Exactly.
So people contribute through work, as they always have, but they also can contribute separately.
Yes.
But obviously you need volunteers.
We do.
So tell people how to be the cash part, to help with the cash or to help with the volunteer part.
Well, what's...
As I struggle with the English language for a moment there.
It's okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, thanks.
So, we need both. And this neighborhood work, I think, is a really great way for people to get involved.
Sure.
We really want people to get involved.
It's your neighborhood.
It's all of our neighborhoods.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's, you know, having people invest in where they live by their own sweat and blood and money. And I mean, that's important.
Exactly. And feel bright that you're leading the change. They're leading the change.
What's the website? For United Way of Metro Chicago.
So it's www.liveunitedchicago.org. Please come and visit us.
Okay.
Help support us. Get involved. Come to the neighborhoods. You know, we're really excited about the results that we're seeing, and we've seen a lot of excitement from donors. We're hoping to replicate this, but we want to get everybody involved in it and out to the neighborhoods.
And is there a big event coming up you need to mention, or is it just the ongoing initiative?
Thank you for that lead-in.
Yeah, we've got not my first time.
A big celebration event on May 11th at the Marriott, the new Marriott down at McCormick Place, which we would love to have folks attending, and that'll be on our website. liveunitedchicago.org, and that's where we celebrate all this great community work and all the donors who come behind it, the volunteers, our talented team, all of our committed partners that I mentioned today, all that work.
I just popped the website up. United We Fight, United We Win. Health, education, financial stability, a safety net. It all comes together under one umbrella of let's make us all stronger by being together.
That's exactly right. We want people to join the fight with us.
Well, so nice to see you. You're always welcome here.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
And thanks for bailing me out there.
Thanks.
And thanks to Kira. We met Kira, too.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kira.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more in a moment. 9:21. What are you doing at 9:30?
Well, the White House shakeup could continue, Steve. The next H.R. McMaster, possibly. White House shakeup
continues. Like we're getting to a point where Trump's going to barricade him in the White House. It's just going to be him. Who's
going to be left?
Who's going to be left? You're going to tell us what the rumor is about others that could go as soon as today.
Yes. That's coming up.
What is it, like a White House job fair? I mean, how are you going to fill all these
spots?
It's
like just a constant carousel. You know, you just pick an animal to ride. That story
Yikes.
And more coming up at 9:30 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've been stuck in motion, moving too fast.
Texters firing up the texting machine. You know the texting machine over here? Yeah.
The computer.
And the two things we're getting the most texts about are Katy Perry kissing the boy who didn't like it and Jeannie Ives. That podcast of Jeannie Ives is up, and it is the absolute prime example I would cite for why you need to vote in the primary. I'll leave your judgment up to you, but that's why. So I hope you listen to it. Podcast available at WGNradio.com, on my Twitter feed, at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, iTunes, iHeart, zippity-doo-dah-day.
Not iHeart anymore.
Oh, we kicked off iHeart? They used to have a podcast thing, too. But anyway, let's go back to the Katy Perry thing for a second, because the texter says, good morning. The young man was obviously uncomfortable about the situation, even if it was staged. Secondly, and more importantly, in the age of Me Too, if a male judge had forced a kiss on a female contestant, it would have been a federal situation. I don't disagree.
I don't disagree either.
But there is a double standard in life that isn't going to change. I'm not even knocking it. But if a woman forces a kiss on a man is expected to handle it. Mm-hmm. If a man forces a kiss on a woman, well, it could be criminal. Mm-hmm. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's the way life works. Mm-hmm. So, and this young man, just to rehash the story for a second, was uncomfortable, as you told me earlier, because it was his first kiss, mm-hmm. and he wanted it to be with whoever would be special for him.
Special, yes.
So, please withhold your jokes, unless you keep them in your own car. Has Katy Perry said anything about this situation?
No, I don't think she has.
Okay. All right.
She's been so weird. A rep for Perry did not immediately respond to people's request for comment.
Well, you saw this, Vanderbilt? You saw it live?
Yeah, I did. She's been so weird on the show so far anyway. I mean, she's just overstepping her bounds on many things. This one kid came out, and she's like, "You're hot. You're so hot." Mm-hmm. And the kid was like, "Okay, you know," and he's like, "I have a girlfriend," but she's just really kind of, I don't know, she's weird, and she doesn't offer much constructive criticism at all.
I did see a point where Lionel Richie had to tell her, and who's the other, Luke Bryan?
Yes,
Luke Bryan, who's got a really interesting personal story I didn't know about. Luke Bryan is taking care of, I believe it's his sister's kids, because his sister died. And then their dad died a couple of years later. So Luke Bryan and his wife are raising the kids, which is, you know, a pretty neat story. Mm-hmm. Well, neat's not the right word. A pretty good story of him doing the right thing. But Katy Perry was wearing a very tight, very short dress, much like the one Dave's wearing this morning. And
hers was shorter.
It's true. And she was I guess she was twerking with one of the auditioners, and she fell off her heels.
Oh yeah.
And they had to help her up so she wouldn't show her Katy Perry parts.
They had to put the blurry vision things up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the stuff she's doing. I mean, they're going over the table. You know how they have a table between them?
Mm-hmm.
And Lionel Richie, I've seen him like get up. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go hug this person. And he goes and hugs a contestant. He's been doing that constantly.
But they got just big ratings. Like, their debut had big numbers.
I don't know why. Richard Dawson on The Family Feud?
Oh, he kissed everybody.
They get a lollipop.
And yeah. No, penicillin was one of the party gifts on that show.
That's right.
And that was okay. Everybody kissed him.
So. But look, I don't watch the show. I'll take your word for it if Katy Perry's annoying. But the sound down, she's fine by me.
Yeah, and I really like her. I mean,
I like Lionel Richie.
Yeah, he's okay. He's offering the best criticism of anybody. Luke Bryan just says, "You're really good." Okay. It's like, okay, well, say something, you know. He doesn't do that.
Just a good old country boy.
Yeah.
John Williams coming up, and he's on every day from 1 to 3 and Saturday mornings, too. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now you can dance. Every dance with the guy who gives you the eye.
Seriously.
Hold you tight.
Pardon me, I'm getting down.
You can smile.
You have a history of making fun of me on this radio station. Hi, I'm John Williams. Steve, you're not making fun of me, are you?
I'm not making fun of you at all. I respect the fact that you put on your dancing shoes. I have been asked to do this thing for years. I turn it down every year because I don't have dancing shoes. And yet you, Mr. Blue Suede Shoes.
Check these out, Edie.
Hey, those are awesome.
Literally blue suede shoes if you're watching on CLTV.
Blue suede shoes.
Those are so sweet.
Those are tremendous. If you're watching on CLTV, that's John's, I'll call it that, is his lefty.
Yeah, it's my left blue suede shoe. I'm dancing to Elvis Presley's Blue Suede Shoes tonight in the Dancing with Chicago Celebrities fundraiser. Yeah.
Is this the final tonight?
Yeah, tonight's the night.
All right, so who else is in this competition?
All of the pretty TV reporters in town.
Give me a couple.
I don't know their names.
I think, wasn't Lauren from Channel 2 in on it? Mm-hmm. And is anyone from Channel 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
5, 7, Fox, they're all Sports.
What? See if you Google it up. See if you can find a list for me.
What dance are you doing?
I'm doing literally the song Blue Suede Shoes while wearing blue suede shoes.
Are you doing the tango?
It's a quick step.
Oh, a quick step.
Yeah, quick step, which I know that's the problem.
That's cool, though.
Were you a good dancer before?
Never.
When you would go to a wedding or whatever and Brenda wanted to dance, would you hide?
We took some ballroom dance lessons to kind of learn how to, like, you know, enjoy a wedding. So we learned to do the waltz and some of the things that, you know, and what they call social dance, which is kind of like a just soft disco. It's very easy to dance to. And then she goes, okay, we're going to do quick step. And here's how it goes. And literally two lessons ago, she pointed something out to me and I said, I can't do that. I cannot do that.
You have so to much do credit for
I
doing
don't move
that.
In that way.
You doing any lifts, John?
Lifts. Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh,
actually.
Look at you.
We so do a thing where I throw her.
You have Karen Jordan, you.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a
you
list. Okay, Dylan. Karen Jordan, who else?
Karen Jordan from Channel 7.
She's lovely.
Lauren Victory from Channel 2.
Right.
Mike Berman from NBC 5.
Lauren, by the way, is a former POM. Like, she was a cheerleader, and she took dance lessons. All of these lady dancers are, you know, either cheerleaders or dancers or theater. They're all talented.
It's in their blood.
TV performers.
Yeah. All right, who else?
Diego Guiardo from Univision.
Okay. Yeah.
Hope I said that right.
Beautiful guy.
Megan Dwyer from Freelancer at WGN-TV.
Okay.
Michelle McMahon.
I know Michelle. I've worked with her. She's on Blackhawks at intermission.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Works
yeah, I know
BPN.
Michelle. Yeah.
And Alex Brown, yeah. NFL star.
So it's a nice group that you're with. Now, you're an athletic guy.
Sure I am. Was.
So when you have these movements that are being taught to you, are you just thinking too much? Or
here's
what's
what I don't have anymore. Flexibility.
Yeah.
Oh,
I understand
they
that.
Do things. I go, wow.
Preach
and
it.
Literally, when they then... we would do video, and I would look back at the video, and I go, oh, I'm not doing it nearly as well as I thought I was doing it. You see yourself and go, holy cow, I can't bend anymore.
Oh, do you have to stretch beforehand?
I'm going to start stretching in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Is it true that you almost killed your partner?
It is true.
That's true? What happened?
Yeah. Now, Vanderbilt, listen to this, because you've done these competitions.
I shouldn't have told you this story.
Put yourself in the hands of this person. What did you do?
She wanted us at some point in the quick step to do a thing where we're back to back. We lock arms kind of at the elbow, and then I flip her over. And we tried that one time. And when I did it, she didn't land on her feet because I didn't do it right. She landed flat face down like a pancake.
Oh,
how badly was she hurt?
I thought that I concussed her.
Oh, no.
And when she finally got up and I said, I am so sorry. And then we decided that we would write that move out of the dance.
Oh, but she didn't quit. She didn't quit. She didn't ask for another partner.
Well, she's not a professional. She can't quit.
You know, Mary, she said, look, stuff like this happens.
Yeah.
We break bones. We get stepped on our feet. We twist things. But I thought, what the heck am I doing here? This is crazy. It's very athletic what's happening out there. You know, you watch Dancing with the Stars, Steve, and I know you're going to be in it next year. And, Steve is going to be, Andrea, I thought of the show Steve's going to do with the event.
Oh, what is it?
Do they have a watching golf?
Oh, yeah, yeah, like watching the golf.
Watching
channel.
Golf with the Stars.
There you go.
Should be Steve in a Barca Lounger with an amateur because he would be the pro.
And they have
he's not lying.
They have these remote control golf carts now, so you could put the Barca Lounge on the golf cart like a Segway.
And then he would have maneuver into the kitchen, get a snack back to the
thing.
Now
you're talking.
There you go.
Now you're talking.
I love it, John. That's a great idea.
I thought of Steve today.
So with your dancing experience now, is there another dance that you'd want to tackle, like the tango or the...
Or do you never want to dance again?
I do want to dance again. It's very enjoyable. I've been an advocate.
So you're addicted.
I'm not at Mary's level because Mary's competitive and good.
Well, Vanderbilt's good. Now. Yeah, she's good.
But
yeah.
I'm telling you, it's great exercise. It's great stress reliever. And it's something fun to do with your partner.
Now, listen to the commitment that you make for this. You started this, a month ago?
Oh, about 2 months ago. We go twice a week.
Right. And twice a week doesn't mean 20 minutes.
No, it's about an hour each time. And then I practice on my own a lot.
Wow.
And that's when Brenda laughs.
No, but
my
it's
sons
so
avert their eyes. They go, oh, God.
Are they all going to watch you?
You know that the Manfredinis, all 14 of them showed up for Lou. Brenda's coming, but my boys were like, yeah, we're going to watch.
Yeah,
we got stuff going on.
We'll watch the video.
And in fact, it's like, I'm going to miss my Butler Bulldogs day for this.
You mean playing bucketball?
Bucketball. They've got themselves this basketball tournament you may have heard about.
I've heard about the March
the
Madness.
The team I follow.
I think March Madness is what John's doing.
It is a little bit. Hey, what about the costumes, too, that you're wearing? I know you get the blue suede shoes.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a blue suit with blue suede shoes.
And blue suit. That's
blue
cool.
polka dot tie.
Is your shirt going to be open a little bit, John?
Well, that's it. I don't think I'm going to wear the tie, Mary. I think I'll keep the tie off and kind of do the Elvis
button
halfway down kind of line.
Because the girls are going to be in some pretty, you know, risque outfits, so you need all the help you can.
Can't we get Dave Ennett or Steve Cochran to do this next year?
Steve, you'll have your new knees.
I have, I have a string that is almost DiMaggio-like in turning this event down, and I don't want to break it now.
How about you, Dave?
I was going to say, if Steve's knees bother, maybe Ennett should.
I'll be in the middle of the Northwestern Wildcats run in the NCAA tournament, so I can't commit.
That's a good point.
What if they're not?
Well, they will be.
They will be.
It's not a what if they're not. They will be.
Well, but if you could tap somebody in. And
now, we're getting texts from people going, are we ever going to be able to see any of this online?
Yes. In fact, I will pin to the top of my page right now, in 9 minutes when I leave the studio, the last video of our practice. But then Monday, we'll post the video of the event itself with me dancing.
Cool.
Is it just your dance or everybody? That you'll put up. In other words, is there any place that you can see all of it?
No. Well, yes, there will be, but I'm not going to post that.
No, okay. Post him.
Go watch Channel 9 if you want to see the
That's right. Or Channel 2.
Or go to a football game or wherever these people
show up tonight. Can people get tickets for this thing, though?
Yeah, they can, but it's $195 a person, and they have 700 people packed into the Hilton Ballroom where they have the Cubs convention. Yeah. That's where we're going to be.
Wait, what is the cost for?
Yeah, what's the money raised for?
It's for three different cancer-related charities. City of Hope, Lurie Cancer Center, and University of Chicago.
$195 a person. They get more than just you. They get food, don't they?
They do, and they get some cocktails.
Can we donate toward your team?
That's what you want to do.
Okay,
just go to my Facebook page, and there will be a link right to my donate page. And I'm telling you, the humiliation I am suffering is for these people. Step up.
And if you go, the website, it's just amdwcc.org. And
Arthur Murray Dance with Chicago Celebrities.
.org/John Williams, and there's a picture of you, and it click right here. And it says,
make a donation.
You can make a donation.
Will you be wearing blue underpants tonight as well?
Okay, I'm done talking to you about this, Steve.
You look at you. You exceeded your goal.
Yeah, my goal was 2,500. What am I at?
11,000.
11,000.
Nice. Wow. John. Nice. That's fantastic.
Good job, dude.
And if Dave Ennett will give $500 more, I will be in first place.
Yes, John.
All right, now, before...
Dave just hit his mic button. He's punched in.
All right, now, before we run out of time, and we will, I want to apologize to you.
And by the way, let's make this quick, because I think I'm going to be appointed Housing and Urban Development.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Later on, so I've got
some things to do. Oh, that's fantastic.
You didn't buy an expensive dining table, did you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, we'll find out the rest of his stuff. But congratulations on that. Now, I'm apologizing to you because I mock the fact that you don't know how to park your car in the parking lot. And here's the deal. I had the advantage of having the super close parking space that was up against a support beam. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to center my car between the lines in this old parking lot where the painted lines aren't so painted.
Where the rest of us park.
Yeah. So my parking space moved, and ever since I've moved to that new parking space
What's happened?
It's taken me 20 minutes to park. I pull in, I back up.
Well, and then you look to the left and go, okay, that person can get out. Oh, the person on the right can't get out of their car now. So what am I going to do? It's nutty.
I apologize for mocking you. I shouldn't have done it. Well, it's harder than it looks.
I appreciate that, Steve.
I really don't have any trouble parking in that lot.
You're not parking White Thunder or whatever.
White Lightning. Yes. John.
Yeah. White light.
Yeah, you're driving a scooter to work. I'm driving a Tahoe.
White Lightning.
White Thunder.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a chance.
All right. Well, everybody's looking forward to seeing it.
Thank you, Steve.
You want to plug some today?
Yeah. Well, so on the show today, your last chance to make a donation. I'll give you a few details. We do The Bright Side. That's where folks call in, tell us some good news in their world, why they're smiling. My Bright Side will be NCAA basketball.
There you go.
That's good.
By the way, I love what you do now with the word of the week with the millennials.
Yeah,
on your Violetta
or no Elephant Violetta are doing that.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Mocking the elderly afternoons 1 till 3.
That's my plan.
And tomorrow, what time?
10 a.m. till 11:30. Then we got Blackhawks hockey.
Okay,
as they take on
the Sabres.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hey, Jody. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jody made a contribution at a Jennifer Weigel Wilmot Theater situation and came in. And
Yes. Everyone get out there to support the theater. It's a wonderful place
really
to
is.
Be. So.
And it's nice of you to be here.
Thank you. It's been
great
awesome.
Great to meet you. I know what a big WGN fan you are.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry about Harry Tynowitz. What?
What?
Here we go.
Happy anniversary, Steve.
Oh, nice. That was nice. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Bill and Harry, what's Wendy doing today?
We can't find her. Don't know where she is. Several calls to the house went
she
unanswered.
She wandered off again.
That's good. Harry was here.
It's a very lucky thing.
That's why I come here every morning, just in case.
Yeah. Harry's in the bullpen all the time, warming up. Just
I'm on
in case.
Standby.
Yep.
You're like the guy that shows up at the Masters hoping somebody's going to cack up and drive the range.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Hey, 20 years ago tomorrow,
yeah.
Can you name what we did?
20 years ago tomorrow would have been 1998. We would have been on AM 1000?
Yes, sir. And you had me wearing a leprechaun suit.
Oh, my God.
I bet that was a hot look.
Oh, it was a hot look.
Do we have pictures?
All the pictures have been confiscated.
By the authorities?
Mm-hmm.
I have some recollection of that. Therapy hasn't cleared it completely. But, you know, it's one of those things, Harry. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All the photos, by the way, are from the waist up.
Luckily.
Yeah.
Very luckily.
Bill, where were you then? We could have used you.
I was just a kid. I was in first grade then.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Everybody, happy St. Patrick's Day. Have a nice weekend. Bill and Harry next. And you guys have fun. Thanks for listening. And to Jeannie Ives. Sure. Appreciate it. What do you got, Bill?
A headache now.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.